Look, I just want to do a quick pie here. This your boy, Opinionated MJ. You know, I'm without my partner, Neil Classic, right now. We probably going to pump out that playoff preview pie tomorrow. But I'm going to call this one On the Road, since I'm actually on the road right now. You know, kind of, it's like a pun playing. It's like a pun playing on a team being on the road, I guess, sure. Anyway, getting straight to the point. I'm listening to ESPN Extra on Sirius XM Radio 81. And I hear Jalen Rose basically say, you know, and he's got Greeny and Michelle Beadle with him on the show. And they are noting that without Steph Curry, Klay Thompson's shooting dips into the 40 percentile, lower 40 percentile. And Draymond Green shooting also does the same as well. I think we've gotten away from 40 to 45%, meaning you are a very good shooter. We got away from that. And yes, I'm going directly at LeBron fans and LeBron media, because they are comparing everyone's stats, their percentages, their everything. No matter what you do, it's compared to LeBron. And, you know, this is why I did the LeBron standard last year. It might be another one coming. It may be a part of the playoff preview. This can damn near be a little piece of it. But just because LeBron is putting up 49 or 54 or whatever percent he's putting up, a lot of it is around the rim, first and foremost. Yes, he has stretched out the floor now with his extended range improving. And, you know, he does a lot of things away from the rim. But LeBron, for the most part, is a big man point guard. What I called him yesterday, a point power forward. So, he has himself already in position to grab rebounds. He is, of course, the person that you want to facilitate to, because he's the ball handler. You know, there's not many teams that can really, I would say, deal with an incoming LeBron because of how ball dominant he is. You know, like, for instance, could I really see LeBron in Houston? Are they going to move the ball enough? Is Chris Paul willing to relinquish his responsibilities with the ball? Is James Harden willing to relinquish some of his responsibilities with the ball, especially after he's about to grab his MVP award? You know, I mean, yeah, if they get knocked out of the first or second round, Houston will probably go get LeBron, I'm sure. But, you know, basically what I just wanted to point that out, that the NBA, and I've been, you know, debating this with a couple of friends and the partners of even Opinionated, you know, Reezy, Neil, Steve, Graw, all of y'all, Maurice, like, this is LeBron's standard. This is Jordan's league with LeBron's standard, basically. So everyone is chasing Jordan. But right now, LeBron is the best player in the league. So in order to try to enter into a conversation with LeBron, or even for certain awards, for the MVP award, in order to be an MVP, and I've noted this, you basically have to put up LeBron numbers. I mean, because LeBron was winning all the MVPs until Russell went down. Then KD won one. You know, well, I'm not going to mention Derrick Rose. That was he needed that. He deserved that as well. But he did it his own way. But he didn't stay healthy. So that's just throwaway. I'm talking about people who've constantly been in the MVP conversation. Kevin Durant won one. Then Steph Curry won two. Then Russell. And what did Kevin have to do? He had to elevate his game, start getting near triple-doubles, getting triple-doubles. You know, Steph is the anomaly, because he is the only one that people don't just flat out compare him to LeBron. Because in order to try to even get to have any type of scratch into the Jordan conversation, you have to get into the LeBron conversation. Or in Steph's case, you have to change the game. so that you become your own conversation. So James Harden or first Russell had to average a triple-double just to get an MVP award. You know what I'm saying? And had that been LeBron, everybody would be proclaiming him the greatest player of all time, hands down, period, because he averaged a triple-double. Russell just did it twice, back-to-back. Even the Big O didn't do that. Like, I mean, really, if I had to make a honest pick on MVP, I would actually pick Russell again, because he endured basically meshing Carmelo, meshing Paul George into the system, some other turnover from, you know, with the roster from last year to this year. Andre Robertson being in and out. You know what I'm saying? He's been through a lot. And for him to have his team in the playoffs where they are, fourth seed, if I'm not mistaken. Fourth seed, yes. Like, I give it to Harden. This Harden's year, though. But Russell really should be the MVP. Because what did Harden do? Get Chris Paul. And that translated into what? Like 5-10 more wins? Something like that? You know, of course that's supposed to happen. You know, another friend, Joe, one of my buddies, he was mentioning how did he put it? That Mike D'Antoni basically should win Coach of the Year, because he changed his philosophies up a little bit. I don't agree with that. I think that's Chris Paul. And I've been high on Chris Paul. I've always said Chris Paul is good, you know, but everybody wanted him to have those, like, fluctuating years where, you know, as soon as he fall off a little bit, everybody going to be screaming, oh, he's declining. You know, as soon as he shave off 2 or 3 points off his scoring average, he's declining. As soon as he shave off a rebound or 2 assists, he's declining. No. Chris Paul is going to bring you discipline and production. Like, period. It don't matter. No, whatever team it is, he's going to bring you discipline and production. There's nothing around that. That's who Chris Paul is. You know, like, he's easily like LeBron in the sense that I feel like any team that he go to will be a playoff team. He could go to the Orlando Magic and they're going to make the playoffs. He could go to the Phoenix Suns with Devin Booker and they're going to make the playoffs. He could go to the Lakers and place Alonzo Ball and they're going to make the playoffs. Like, Chris Paul is basically the point guard LeBron. I don't really want to get into the playoff preview myself. I'm not going to do that. But this is just a quick hit at, you know, we're not appreciating players, including LeBron, for what they are. We are too busy trying to see who's going to put up triple doubles, you know, and right now that's like, basically, it shouldn't even be the LeBron standard. It should be the Russell Westbrook standard. In that case, are you putting up triple doubles like Russell Westbrook? You know, because it's not just LeBron. So the LeBron Russell standard, except Russell is not the media darling. He's not the, you know, then they take it to a personal level. He's not the clean cut and, oh, you know, ain't never did nothing. You know, if you got your kids, if you are a parent, rather, I'll put it this way. If you are a parent and your kids look up to these basketball players, then you need to be more involved in your kids' life. You know, I understand it as an adult. You can look at some of them, their business acumen and things like that. That's fine. But these players are not role models. They're human beings. Like Kevin Durant said, you know, what do you say? We won a championship. I had some Taco Bell after and it ran through me like it would any other person. You know, they are not superheroes. They are not, you know, and then we need to stop dabbling into who did what, Charles Barkley in his day, and what Jordan didn't invest in his time and what he didn't speak out to. You know, we're forgetting that it's 2018. It's not 1992. It's not you know, like, times are different. Things are different. And certain people don't want to sacrifice certain things, especially while they're ascending upward. Because the way the world works, at the end of the day, these people are black. I don't mean to make this a racial thing, but if a black individual says something, you know, out the way, look at Colin Kaepernick. And I'm not about to pay his bills. Are you? Are you about to give him a job? Are you in position to give him a job? So we need to stop looking at these people as these role models and stuff like that. You know, I like the LeBron, like his philosophies and stuff like that. But we also can't compare everybody to him. We can't compare KD personally to LeBron. We can't compare Russell personally to LeBron. You know, it's a lot of stuff with these people that we don't know. We don't stay with these people. We don't live with these people. We don't know these people. We're not family with these people. You know, because a lot of these players are very, you know, outspoken, period. That's just how it is. You know, I just think we need to, again, appreciate everyone for who they are. Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons, for instance, you know, we're having a discussion about who's really the rookie of the year. And the argument is, well, you've been in the league for a year. You've been able to kind of get a taste of what is to come once you put your foot on the floor in an NBA uniform in an actual regulation game. I think it does count. I would still say Ben Simmons for MVP, but I like Donovan Mitchell game too. So it's like basically the new Kobe and LeBron in the league at the same time. I love both their games. I really would just say, let's just settle this by making them co-MVPs. That's not a dig at either one. You know, they could both just say, well, I was rookie of the year. Well, I was rookie of the year. And that actually creates another rivalry. It's an East Coast, West Coast thing also, where, you know, one is on the one side, one is on the other. That makes it where, you know, okay, well, can you two get to the finals together? Can you see each other? Can you enrich in the rivalry? That's like basically creating a rivalry for the future. And I think that would be very successful. But the thing is, we need not to say, well, Ben Simmons averaged 16, 8, and 8. Oh, but Donovan Mitchell didn't. He's not flirting with a triple-double in his averages. These players are two different players. Ben Simmons can't shoot. Or maybe he can, but he's just waiting for the playoffs. I think he got some shooting to him. He's just not showing it right now. I think he's playing coy. I could, you know, that's just a wishful thinking. That's just a thought. But I really think he has it. Or he'll acquire it down the road. Meanwhile, Donovan Mitchell is putting up game tires, go-aheads, game winners, making big defensive stops and carrying the Utah Jazz. They lost Gordon Hayward. They lost Rudy Gobert to injury early. They lost Joe Johnson. Dante Exum just came back. Like, the Jazz, it's been heavy turnover over there as well, you know. And I know a lot of people will say, well, Philly didn't have Markelle Fultz and Joel Embiid didn't play back-to-backs. I mean, yeah, but that's not just flat-out roster turnover. That's not, excuse me, like Rudy Gobert missing a whole bunch of games in a row. It's not, you know, it's not the same. So we need not to compare these players based upon a statistical standard. We need to, I mean, once you get into a certain level with your stats, it's not about stats. If you're a player and you averaging anywhere from 24 and up, you should be considered in whatever conversation based upon what you bring to your team, based upon what you do on the floor. You shouldn't be compared to others or to a statistical standard. You shouldn't be held to a statistical standard. So I'm still a firm believer in effect over stats because, okay, yeah, I'll mention Kobe. Kobe, volume score. But Kobe's bricks are going to rebounders who are going to have easy putbacks. And Kobe being on the floor is going to draw double and triple teams out, you know, out of this world, which is why I also would put Kobe in a Jordan conversation. because Jordan didn't see those defenses per se. They weren't necessarily allowed that way after the Bad Boys and Celtics time. You know, I mean, New York did their thing. The Pacers kind of packed up on them. You know, a couple other teams. But Kobe is like, you already seen this before. So now here's Kobe, and you know what you got to do to try to stop him, but you still couldn't stop him. You still couldn't stop him. He put fear in people, you know, from you know, early on. He put fear in people early on. Once he became who he was going to become before people seen it coming, you know, because he threw up a couple air balls and everybody thought, oh, no, he ain't going to be this and that. Yeah, and then next thing you know, he's basically on his way, you know, and he put fear in you. You didn't know how to stop him, where to stop him, none of that. I just think we need to respect each player for his own, including LeBron. We need to appreciate him while he's still here. You know, I've turned the page with LeBron. I'm impressed with LeBron this year, but I'm not going to call him MVP. I'm not going to call him MVP and, you know, act like James Harden didn't play this year. Russell Westbrook didn't play this year. You know, a few other players didn't play this year. But I'm going to wrap this up. You know, this on the road. Get focused on this driving. Be on the lookout for that pod, the new Moneyball featuring me and Neil Classic. Shout out to Reezy. Y'all go follow Comical Minds. Opinionated Basketball Minds on Facebook. We done hit 10,000 followers. I just want to say thank you. It's been a long time, man. It's been a long time. It took 3 long years to get there, but we made it. A lot of self-promotion and you know, sacrifice came along with that. And you know, big inclusion with Ryan. Ryan really turned the page for us. So shout out to the team. And, yeah, we'll get back to y'all.